Ladies and gentlemen, boys, girls, children of all ages, Ramble Mania Show probably brings to you. It is I, your world heavyweight champion.
Until Sim Day.
The Angel Death 6XL. Not until no Sim Day. This is going to be forever and always. I am your heavyweight champion. This is how it goes. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. Well, I like butts, but that's a whole different situation. Joining me as always, well, no, for the first time,
the queen of the butts, the person that's gonna take that championship off your shoulder come Sim Day. It is I, Kaboom.
I gotta put up a little sign that says help me, and then I'm gonna put up another little sign that says screw, and then ball. That was some Looney Tunes shit. Oh, God.
So me and Styx have been friends for like 3 years now.
Yes, yes.
And in that 3 years, it finally took us 3 years to get here right now.
For a solo one-on-one, face-to-face. I guess you can say a podcast here, but it's all good, man. It's all good. It's we chilling. You know, we're having a good time.
But before we do, what do you have to say to your arch nemesis, Hazel, who's currently waiting for you for the Jeopardy?
We're destined to do this shit forever. Much like tonight, you will find out that Hazel and I are basically Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens over and 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 over. It's always me versus Hazel. And I mean,
you know what, though?
That's how I got this belt. That's how I got the championship. I whooped his ass.
You whooped his ass and took it with you and never brought it back?
Well, I won it. So, yeah, it's mine. I win. I'm the champion. That's how I got the scrap. Oh. Do you have any? Well, I have news, actually. Randy Orton might be fooked.
I saw that. I saw briefly because as much as the doctors want to clear him, they think at this point the injury just might have, like the amount of time he's going to be recovering might as well just retire at this point.
Yeah, it's been over 6 months, I believe, since we've last seen the Viper Randy Orton. And unfortunately, yeah, the doctors are saying that it's looking kind of grim. And it's not looking pretty good. It's taking him a long time to recover. And like Katie said, they don't know,
you know, if it's worth it anymore.
Yeah. But it's all up to Randy. And I pray to God that Randy gets better. And I hope everything is good with him. So that's about it.
He might not be cleared eventually for WWE standards, but he might end up feeling better. I don't think he'd like go as far as like doing indie tours and shit like that.
Yeah.
You know, unless the money was right.
Not indie tours, because he's not an indie wrestler, but I get what you mean, like dark shows.
Yeah. Like I could see him going on that type of level, but I don't see him. If anything, at this point, right? Because his last main injury before this wasn't it at the time that Seth was still part of the Authority and he turned on him? Like that was his last real major injury.
I don't remember because I mean, you're talking to the guy who's AEW show basically. I'm not really an AEW show, but it's just more or less like that's what I watch. I watch the AEW realm and the New Japan realm and all those realms on the other side. While WWE, I don't really watch that much, so I couldn't tell you like that. But from what I remember, I mean, last time I don't remember the last time he got injured, but last time we saw him, he was with Riddle and then Eek. All right, I guess with all that being said,
are you ready to join the Ramble Zone?
Katie, are you ready?
I am ready.
No! I said, are you ready?
Yeah. Ow.
Watch it. Then, for the thousands in attendance, it's just us. and the millions watching at home. And for me doing this for the first time since Smack Bants back in the day. It's
been a long time. Oh, I heard Tevin said you're coming to SmackDown full time.
Wildin', I wish. Ooh, let's get ready to ramble.
So, we are set in the Survivor Series Go Home Edition of SmackDown. We started late due to college football running, but we are in. What?
College football stopped wrestling.
Yo, man, listen.
I like college football. I'm not going to lie to you. I prefer college football.
College over the football make the money, though.
I'm telling you, college football is decent, but I don't like it more than I like wrestling. Just saying. Although this is not the wrestling that I tend to watch, so I mean,
I'm watching it on Fridays right before Rampage.
So yeah, I don't watch the full thing. I watch like the last hour, I guess, or the last like 45 minutes, because I'm usually preparing the hookah and shit, getting ready for the other show. I don't. I had to rewatch like this one. We got home mad late, and Rampage wasn't even on, so I had to watch like the last 30 minutes. I think it was last 30, 20 minutes, and then after that, we just went straight into watching what's the name of the show? Chucky. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So we're in Providence, Rhode Island, the day after everyone stuffs their faces for Thanksgiving.
Yep.
We go into the ring. Damage Control is out with Bayley, Rhea Ripley, Nikki Cross, and the women's tag team champions.
Yeah, Dakota Kai must have had to pee or had ants in her pants because she kept moving, and I was like, "Fuck, are you moving so much for?"
Just, did not want to stay still. But you know,
bro, calm the fuck. What is all this shit? Like, go back and rewatch it, guys. Just that one part, the beginning. And then you're going to see she just...
smoke.
She didn't calm the fuck down. Go ahead.
Bayley takes the mic and she talks about not being happy being dragged out of her home after Thanksgiving to go deal with to deal with the Team Bel Air bullshit. So then Team Bel Air comes out with the Raw Women's Champion, Alexa... with I'm Bianca Belair, Alexa Bliss, Asuka, Mia Yim. Is Mia still Mia Yim or is she Mitchin or whatever?
I believe she's Mitchin or Mitch or Mitchin. It's either Mitchin or Mitchin, something like that. I believe it means crazy. She posted something kind of like explaining that, but I didn't really look too into it. Because I don't really like I don't like the WWE name changes. And I'm pretty sure that was one of those where they were like, oh, yeah, well, we have to get a name that we can copyright. So can you please, like, call yourself something other than the name that you've been going for the last few years, which everyone more or less knows you as. So
Yeah.
It's kind of weird.
But, you know, and Bianca says, well, sucks, but all five of us are here now. And with that, the man, the myth, the legend, Becky Lynch comes out.
Yeah, I'm wearing the shirt. Something that I noticed, which I found hilarious, when they were walking down the ramp, it was so funny, man. It was so funny. Because if you notice, Alexa Bliss is serious. Mia Yim is serious. Fucking Asuka's over here doing a whole dance. You know, Bianca always does her little dance with her hair twirl and whatever. And then fucking Asuka, you just see her. Asuka's the best, bro.
Asuka makes everything so lighthearted and fun.
Then they start brawling, you know what I'm saying? Becky clears the ring. Then Rhea tries to act tough and pull up. But her team kind of like, oh, no. Chill. They're not ready for this yet. Then the baby faces hop up on the apron behind Becky, and we have a little stare off. And I think that was the end of that segment.
It was. And then commentary started talking about the men's war games, the advantage match, as well as Shotzi versus and Raquel versus Shayna Baszler and Ronda Rousey, as well as Bray Wyatt explaining his actions from last week. And then they said it was a World Cup semifinals match.
Yeah, they were trying to, I guess from what I remember, Bray Wyatt, they were accusing him of attacking
LA Knight
backstage, and apparently it was, but it wasn't him. And I think he explains it later on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but then we go to like Katie said, that nice little but you know what I found annoying? They repeated the same shit that happened earlier over and over again throughout the night. That shit was annoying because right before this match they put it.
But that's why I kept telling you it felt the like. So a lot of people will disagree with me, but a lot of people were saying that, you know, that it was the best SmackDown leading up to War Games. And I'm like, I really felt like that match, like the night was not as great as it was, you know, amped up to be.
I mean, I see that there was a lot of cool stuff going on, but it feels weird watching WWE because I look at the matches and they have like this samey ass formula.
Mm-hmm.
So like during this match was kind of cool. It was pretty badass. Santos Escobar is a beast. You know what I'm saying? That kid, man, absolute beast. Every time I see him in the ring, I'm like, wow, man, this kid can go. The only problem was that the pacing of this match was just so fucking boring. It was so WWE formula over and over again. And it's like they have the same formula for like everything. And I don't know, man. It's not as good as having people kind of go out there and paint this art, you know what I'm saying, and do their thing. It just kind of felt like they weren't doing their own thing. It felt like they're doing WWE's thing, which I don't really, that's not my vibe.
I feel like a lot of people are still trying to fit into the formula now that Triple H is around.
Yeah, but I hope that slowly starts to like go away, because I understand making
it's like
a formula for having a decent, good, safe match, but at the same time, not at the expense of having a creative, smart, fun match. Like I understand being safe, but you know, it can be a lot more than that. Pete Dunne, man, this guy's so aggressive. They were throwing fucking elbows in the beginning of this match. They were going ape shit, man.
I like what they like the way. So I didn't like them changing his name to Butch.
His name is Peter Dunne to me, always.
Like, but you see his progression though.
Yeah, Pete Dunne is a beast, man.
I
see his progression. He's more entertaining now that he's Butch. Like he's having more fun, and I can tell. But he's not. I feel like there's something off there when it comes to his wrestling and when it comes to the promos and the stories that they're putting him in. Before, Pete Dunne would have never been thrown in any of these stories. Like Pete Dunne's stories would be very, very like serious and very, you know, centralized around him being this like absolute fighter who won't give up. You know, he walks around crippling your fingers and beating every opponent down, like to the very bottom of him. And I feel like,
but like
this had a chance to be like this. These are two NXT guys who are like seasoned and beasts. They're both from other parts of the world who, you know what I'm saying, where they got their craft set up. And it's kind of weird that now that they're here, they're just doing this fucking WWE formula.
It's weird, but I also see, like, why Trips and that, or even just, was this a thing even with Vince McMahon, the Brawling Brutes? I'm trying to remember timeline-wise.
Yeah, Vince McMahon, it was sillier. It was even sillier. It was like, this is not as silly as what they had. They had Butch running around acting like Scrappy Doo. You feel me? Yep. And now he's still kind of like got a little bit of that, but now it's more Pete Dunne. Now I feel like he's making it his own versus being what they had before.
That's exactly what I said. Like Trips will let this go on a little bit, meaning like the old formula, but he allowed them to be themselves, and that's what, remember, that's what made NXT popular as it was back then. It's because Trips let them be themselves within their characters, which was the opposite of what wrestling originally was.
I feel like it was like that a little bit, but I mean, like I said, it was, again, a little too formulaic, and there was more, it's the bullshit going on as usual. So, as the Brawling Brutes are, you know, ringside, and they're watching their boy Pete Dunne kind of like get this thing going, they were distracted by something going on the screen. In the back, the Usos were beating up KO and I believe Daddy Dre. And then obviously they saw what was going on, the Brawling Brutes, and they ran back up and they, you know what I'm saying? They whooped ass, bro. They got in that. But that caused the distraction, which started the downfall of Pete Dunne. Then another distraction by Zelina Vega. And I believe El Legado got involved or something like that. And then after that, that was all she wrote. I think he did a Falcon Arrow or some shit, and that was the end of the match.
But I knew it wasn't going to end up Pete taking the win, because he's already in one big storyline right now with the Bloodline.
Yeah.
There was no way they were going to have him do both. And then on top of that, I was telling Tev, I'm like, for some reason, right? They're not going to give Vaughn a push right now. They're going to somehow put it to be like Gunther or whatever they go by for him nowadays. And they're going to set that up down the line. But I think they're going to make it Trevor versus Santos Escobar. He's not Ricochet no more. He's Trevor.
He's Trevor Mann.
He's basic as fuck.
Why are you calling him basic?
It's a basic ass name, bro.
So what, man? Most wrestlers have basic ass names. So now they do a recap, yeah.
Yeah, recap, yeah.
About what happened over here with LA Knight and Bray Wyatt, yeah. Where he headbutted him, yeah. And they show Bray Wyatt talking about, I didn't mean to do all that shit. That's not me.
I don't know how, like, I love this theatrics from Bray Wyatt, but I don't know how to feel about this level of vulnerability or claim to it.
I mean, from what I understand, he's not trying to be the person he used to be before. He's trying to be a good guy. But whatever's going on with that, what's that thing's name? Uncle Howdy? Something's going on there. I think it's Bo Dallas. I definitely think it's Bo Dallas.
You really think they're bringing Bo back?
There's got to be something to this. There's got to be a reason. And I'm trying to find clues, but I can't find any clues as to why this is going on. It makes you feel for him. And, you know, of course, it's like, wow, man, like this is kind of like twisted. Like, is he okay in the brain? It gives me kind of like a have you ever seen Moon Knight?
No.
Well, more or less, to me, it gives me like a Moon Knight vibe. Where they're trying to make it seem like he has multiple personality. But it's more than just multiple personality. There's legit different people. Like, they try to make it seem like a, almost like a, what do you call this?
I mean, I saw
like of course multiple personality disorder, but at the same time, there's like legit people like living inside of him, kind of sort of.
Like they're losing time because that other person is living time for them.
Exactly, and I feel like that's kind of like what they're doing with Bray Wyatt. If that makes any sense to you, where like they're making it seem like it's a multiple personality thing, but there's actual different people that he's actually referring to that are making him do these things. And I think that's going to end up being Bo, because from what I heard, they were in talks with Bo, and they got in contact with him, and we've never heard anything from that situation since. So, I mean, I'm just saying, logistically in my brain,
But
that,
how
that's what makes sense.
But here's my thing now. How would you package that afterwards? Like, what happens when Bo doesn't want to do a gimmick no more with Bray?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it depends. You just kind of move on and create a new story. But for now, I mean, like, I feel like that makes sense. That's a good start for him, a good way for him to come back. And I feel like eventually you can iron out the details. You can iron out the story. Keep adding to this Wyatt Six idea, because I feel like that's where the fans wanted to go, is to have this kind of like Wyatt, not Wyatt family per se, but like this like Wyatt faction where everyone is like a star. And I mean, if you do something like that, right, you don't need to put a title on somebody in this place, because it's like this whole superstitious, like extra worldly kind of deal. But you can, you feel me? But you can, like, you don't always want to do that, because you know, eventually you got to beat them. But yeah, there's ways with the spooky shit that if you know how to write a story, you can make that go down.
So let me ask you a question, right? Stories like this, they make you more enticed to the brand, being that, like, you have Roman's held the same fucking titles for God knows how long.
I mean, I feel like the idea is once Mania comes, we'll find out exactly where they go with this. Because they have the potential right now to make mad stars by one hit, and that'll be WrestleMania. If they pull off WrestleMania properly, they can create a shit ton of new stars. They can elevate Cody if he comes back. Well, they can build Bray Wyatt, and everyone who's around him is going to get that Bray Wyatt rub, and they're going to start looking like, you know, stars as well. They can have that situation with The Rock and Roman and finally get that shit out the way, which is what I'm dying for already. Just get it out the way. So that way either Roman takes a L and he can, and The Rock takes a belt, and then we can, you know, which I don't really want, because I'm pretty sure that then that means we're going to have another Mania match, which no. Or we're going to have a part-timer situation with The Rock. I don't know how they're going to do that. I wouldn't like any of that, to be honest. Or we can go the way that I want it to go, which is Roman wins, and now Roman looks like the absolute god of WWE, and now you can start breaking him down a bit, you know? You can start putting breaks in the bloodline, which will then kind of cause like a chain reaction, which once everybody from that like kind of spins off into their own thing, they can become their own stars on their own right, you feel me? Then Roman himself, you know, he doesn't get knocked down a peg, because you can give a reason why it's going down with everybody involved and all the pieces and parts involved. And then you can finally build a champion to take out Roman, like, for good, quote unquote.
I need it to be
solo. And that guy will be built.
I need Solo to do that.
Depending on how they write it, who knows? It could be Solo. It could be a go-go. It could be Camarado. No. enough about the Nightmare Factory. This is WWE. It could be Solo. It could be Cody. It could be Bray. Like, whoever they put against him is now going to be a huge star. So I think they better pick, like, wisely. They better choose wisely. Whoever beats Roman is going to look like the biggest star on God's green earth. And I think that the way to remedy that, which some people might hate this idea, but I like it, would be eventually to turn Roman babyface.
No!
And I'll tell you why. Whoever beats Roman can either be made to be the biggest baby face ever, or because Roman has gotten to this point where he's such a big fucking monster star, whoever beats him, they're going to know that he's going to be the next guy. So they're going to turn on him, because wrestling fans tend to do shit like that. I would kind of play it by ear, where if I see that the fans are turning on that baby face really, really bad, through time, I'll turn that baby face into the heel, and then turn Roman into the baby face. And then we could have that go on for a little bit, and he could have his redemption run, and we can I mean, so, there's many ways they can go with this. There's a lot of fun things you can do. Oh, I mean, what happened?
Sammy Uso?
Could be. I feel like with Sammy, though, Sammy needs the trigger to be pulled very, very soon. So I don't know about that. Because he's one of those guys that they've readied him. He's ready.
Listen, man, they disappointed me. The powers that be. The firefly, they're out. The haunting of the piano shadow is heard as we see the doorway to Bray Wyatt. The lamps appear, and we see Bray smile and walking to the fame, making his way, observing the crowd, soaking in all the praise and adoration. And then he gets in the ring and laughs as the crowd sings along to him. He blows out the lamp and the music cuts. And then he goes and says, "My name is Bray Wyatt. I like to think that I have a grip on what people think I am. When I go to places, I know people will talk and whisper behind my back, and it doesn't bother me. I pretend I don't hear it, but I understand. My entire life, I've been looked at like a rabid animal. I know what most people want to see."
You know what I heard when he was saying all this?
What?
"When I was in the third grade, they treated me like a criminal because I killed somebody."
But alas. I'm sorry, I just wanted to do that. They just want to see the theme. He asked them if they want to see the show, but it's not the man he wants to be anymore. Believe me, it's very hard to explain what I had to go through, man. I know what I've given to you. Violence is the only language I can speak. I have to be truthful. I did not attack LA Knight. And then Uncle Howdy appeared. "Open your eyes. He can make you believe anything. He'll make fools of you if you listen to him." Wake up, and an interspeed footage of the old Bray Wyatt pops up. We then cut to LA Knight going, "Let me talk to you. Yeah. I didn't get to enjoy Thanksgiving. Yeah."
Go ahead.
7 days ago. Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead. Keep going.
Minding my own damn business.
Yeah.
Onto a pile of trash.
Yeah. Yeah. LA Knight, yeah. Trash.
That human trash bag can bum in his lies to the world. It took me everything to come here. If I could appear in front of him, I'd ask, whose game is it? L.A. Knight.
Yeah.
And the Bray Wyatt logo appears. And then Hit Road music plays. And they make that.
Hit Row.
And the commercial break.
Hit Row.
Yeah.
I love me Brianna Brandy. She's so fucking cool.
I feel like Hero is like the next Street Profit intertwined with New Day.
I feel like Hit Row is his own thing. I feel like Hit Row is basically that record label idea. But they need to flush that out. They were doing really good with that on NXT. They're not doing very good with that on the main roster. By the way, can I talk about how Top Dollar has lost a tremendous amount of weight?
Yeah, he did.
He looks so much slimmer. I'm like, whoa. When I saw him on Friday, I was like, get the fuck out of here. This man is, he's doing his thing, man.
That's what happens when you're not on TV for a few weeks.
He looks great, by the way. Did you see what they renamed Sarah Logan?
Like Valkyrie.
Valhalla. Now,
does that remind you from the Justice Kids? Remember from Dexter's Lab?
Yes, it reminds me. I was going to say, it reminds me of Valhallen, which was the fake Thor in the fake version of the Avengers from Dexter's Laboratory, which I believe was the Justice Friends, right?
the Justice Friends, and it was the Purple Hulk.
The Krunk.
The Krunk.
The Infraggable Krunk. Major Glory.
And Valhalla.
Valhalla. My favorite one from that whole thing was a monkey.
The monkey with the man, though. The monkey got all the bitches.
Monkey, this is Agent Honeydew. Help us. They gave a merengue. It's the first superhero I've ever heard with merengue as a fucking theme song. I'm like, hey, they even ended like a merengue.
It was fun, though. But see, those days were fun.
What the fuck was the point of this match?
A filler match.
Talk about it.
All right. So Ashanti and Ivar start, and Ashanti tries to start with a flurry of shots and a dropkick, but Ivar runs him over and hits the boot. Eric tags in, and they just club away as Eric screams at Ashanti. Eric with an elbow and a vicious shoulder tackle. Eric stares down Top Dollar and just lays out Ashanti with one right hand. Ivar tags in, and they double team with a big knee strike. Eric back in, and Ashanti avoids a suplex, and Top Dollar's in. He tackles Ivar and boots down Eric. Ashanti tags in, but Ivar dumps Top Dollar over, and Ashanti up to the top and misses something into a spin kick, and Eric takes out Dollar. They hit the Ragnarok. 1, 2, 3. The winner, the Viking Raiders.
So explain to me why Top Dollar was on top, whooping ass, doing everything, right? He gets taken out for like 2 seconds and he tags in the Adonis, who just, he's on one leg at this point. Why? Why? Like, what's the point of that? You were good. You were better than he was. You were fresher than he was. He's hopping around on one fucking leg. That's silly to me. I don't know. I feel like that was dumb. That made him look dumb.
I just feel like WWE really needs to do something with their tag team division.
Yeah.
I want the Usos as much as the next one.
Mm-hmm.
But you have all this talent here. You're kind of just making them look like Lambones right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I understand you on that. I feel you on that because of the fact that, like, I mean, remember that one time where they had all the tag teams come out just so that fucking Braun Strowman could fucking run around and murk everybody. That was dumb. You feel me? Like, and then, I mean, I see that they're trying here and there, but there's no, I don't know. You got to make it feel important again. You got to make those titles feel important again. No. You got to make people want to go after those belts. Even if they're not even going for those belts at the moment, like even if they're having a feud with somebody else, you got to make it eventually go back to being about getting those belts. You got to make the tag team division feel like something. And then you know what I'm saying? You got to, I don't know. They're not doing it right.
Look at the women's division. Look at the women's division as a whole. Well, look at the women's tag team division.
It's ass.
So why, first of all, you relinquish the 24/7, you retire it. Why don't you retire the tag titles too? Because there's no female tag team division.
This is what I've been saying. The tag titles should be held on every single show. It should be one pair of tag titles. If it got to be on NXT, then let it be on NXT. You feel me? Like the women's the tag team.
Snap. I saw your head snap. Yeah. For that.
The women's, listen, the women's tag team division is tiny and grim at this point. You feel me? What you got to do to make it feel like something is have the women's tag titles be defended on all three shows. On all three shows. It makes so much more sense. That way you can fit it into fucking Raw for a match here or there. You can fit it in on SmackDown for a match here or there. And then you can make a lot of the stuff go on NXT if you got to make it go on NXT. But the point is the women's tag division is small. And in order to elevate that division, you got to fucking get as many numbers as you can. And the way to get as many numbers, you know, of tag teams as you can is to defend it on all three shows. It'll elevate some of the women in NXT and probably create tag teams for them to have in the future.
We need a whole wrestling renaissance again. And I don't want another draft, but they need to just do something.
I feel like there's going to be a draft eventually.
I hope
not. What I would do is, like I said, just start making these titles mean something. Start making these pay-per-views mean something. And I feel like Triple H is in the right direction. I feel like eventually he'll get to that point. And hey, maybe when he gets to that point, I'll start watching more and more WWE. But for now, not really.
You mean, listen, man, I don't know, man. You didn't read the memo, but Tev said you're coming to SmackDown.
Like I said, I don't know too much about no SmackDown. You know what I'm saying? I watch SmackDown a little bit, you know. Yeah. NXT hurts to watch, and Raw hurts to watch. NXT hurts to watch just because that's like the essence of the formula there. Everything is by the formula, and it's awful. And then you go look at, you know, Raw, and Raw's a 3-hour show. Like, that shit is ridiculous.
But you know what, though? SmackDown is the A show, baby. Suck it, Hazel. They run down on Dominic's punk spoiled by Mysterio's ass, according to Michael Cole, as we cut into the attack on Rey Mysterio by Dominic and Rhea in his La Casa during Thanksgiving.
Yeah, so from what I remember, they're walking towards the door. They're acting like, I got to introduce my mom to my mommy kind of deal. And they're talking shit and they're being extra. And Angie opens the door and she's like, what the fuck are you doing here? You're not supposed to be here. You know, you and your pops have beef. He's like, oh, let me go get him. And then she like closes the door on him. So Dom is on some like, yo, I'm just trying to see my family kind of deal, but it's bullshit. You know, he's trying to cause problems. So Ray comes up and he's like, yo, this is not the time or the place. Do not come over here trying to act all when it's a holiday. You over here being a little dick. I know exactly what you came here for. And he got jumped. I find it funny that Rey Mysterio was putting his mask on because it's almost like they got him from the bathroom or some shit. He was taking a shit or some shit. And then they're like,
damn, you interrupted my time. Now I got to
pull my heart out. Downstairs. You got to. I find that shit hilarious. TJ finds it funny for a whole different reason. But I find it funny just because it's like, where the fuck they got him from? Like, where the fuck was he that he did not have his mask? Oh, let me go. And then, you know, the camera's outside and there's a whole bunch of people outside. Like, how you
not like waiting for him?
Yeah, like, why you not notice that? Like, it's funny. It's funny. He said it reminds him of, like, when Cody was, you know, he came downstairs in a suit. Like, how did you know to put on a suit to go meet up with fucking Arn Anderson outside trying to fucking blow your house down? funny shit.
So, Ricochet makes his way back down to the ring, getting ready for our semifinals match. Trevor,
do you know that these two are a foot apart almost?
Who?
Ricochet and Braun?
No way.
Ricochet is 5'9", which is my height. Well, I'm a little taller than Ricochet. I'm like high up. Well, I don't know because I've never met him in person. But I'm a high 5'9".
Okay.
So, like, I'm, like, 5'10", basically. And then there's, like, low 5'9". Low 5'9", you could tell right away. They look a little different. You see them next to somebody who's, like, a full 5'9", like, almost 5'10". You're going to be like, that don't look right. How are y'all the same height?
After Ricochet made his way down to get ready for the match, we go to a commercial break. And coming back from it, fucking LA Knight's attacked again with a roadie box. And he got smashed against the door.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's fucked up, man. Who keeps whooping his ass? Y'all just whooped his ass last week.
Like, why?
Stop killing LA Knight, poor guy. Yeah.
Let the ass live. Yeah.
By the way, Ricochet's entrance is fire.
Trevor.
Ricochet. I gotta call him Ricochet. It reminds me of Mucha Lucha.
He's not Mucha Lucha, though. He's fucking Trevor Man.
He is Mucha Lucha. This motherfucker was, what was it, Puma in Lucha Underground. Fucking Come on, do you really think it's as regular a name as some of the other wrestlers?
I don't want to know any more regular ass name.
Fucking, I think it's Liv Morgan. Yeah, I think it's Liv Morgan, and she has like a cool ass name.
Yeah, Gianna Daddio.
Fucking, why is your name so fucking cool in real life? Why is your name fucking Liv Morgan in WWE? So fucking boring. And then in real life, Gianna Daddio. That's a cool ass fucking name. If I was Trips, I would be like, nah, don't change your name. Your name is fucking cool. Just use that. Gianna Daddio, bro. That shit's fire.
Have the Daddio part on the Titantron.
Matt Big. And then we can have Poppy versus Daddio. Rhea Poppy versus fucking Gianna Daddio. we could call it a Zaddy match with a Z at the beginning. Who is your Zaddy?
The Battle of the Zaddies.
Oh man. So yeah, go ahead. Talk about the match.
Oh god, fucking Braun.
Fucking 6'8" next to Ricochet's 5'9". Damn near a foot taller than him. That's crazy.
Braun's music bellows and the monster among monsters makes his way to the ring, showing us how to get fired. Showman fist bumps the fans, and Braun screams in Trevor Mann's face as they square off. Braun throws him into a corner immediately, and Mann gets patted off the head. So he slaps Braun. Showman chokes him into the corner and catches the springboard. Man attacks the legs and flips out of a Strowman catch. Multiple drop kicks and Strowman's down onto the floor. A big drop kick and Braun into the barricade. Braun runs back and kills Ricochet with an announce table. He drags Man into the ring and drops an elbow for a two count. Braun whips him hard into the corner and follows up with a clothesline and a massive yell. Braun just manhandles him as Gunther makes his way down to the ring. And Strowman talks trash to him and welcomes him in. And Imperium tries to attack Strowman. Roll up by Man. 1, 2, 3.
Yeah. This was a decent little banger. It showed that Ricochet can and Ricochet will. You know what I'm saying? And then he kind of got Strowman's respect afterwards.
I look forward to seeing Escobar versus Trevor Mando.
That sounds like a good match.
It does. Really,
I'm glad it's not Strowman, because that would have been fucking, oh god.
They're gonna
slow. Not to say that this match was oh god. It's just, that's just a regular ass match if you got Strowman in there. If you got Ricochet and fucking Escobar, that might lead
like,
to some.
Like, I feel like whoever's gonna win that is gonna have an actual legitimate shot. But clearly you see that Gunther is pushing for some type of storyline with Strowman.
Yeah. But the thing is that, like, Gunther ran away from Strowman, man. Fucking, what happened? This is why I miss Walter. Walter would have never run away from that shit.
Bring
Walter would have been like, if I die, I die. That would have been Walter.
Bring back Walter. Post-match, Imperium celebrate and surround Braun. Gunther with a big boot to Braun. They triple-team him as Ricochet looks on. He starts feeling conflicted because, like, yo, I just whooped your ass. Do I want to just go to the back of the locker room and chill right now? Or do I want to go help save your candy ass? So Ricochet says, fuck it, and goes after them. Killer chop by Gunther to Ricochet. Showman fights them off, and they bail. Imperium laughs at Braun Strowman, stares at Ricochet in the corner. He looks over to him and looks in the crowd, offers his hand, and helps Ricochet up and thanks him for the assist. We then see the Kevin Owens reveal as the fifth man and the brawl that happened last week, including a stunner on Roman Reigns. Sammy goes back and knocks on the Bloodline's door. We then see Kevin Owens walking up to Sammy, trying to shoo him, to trying to get him to do the right thing. While this is all happening, Jay is spying on Kevin. As Kevin is asking Sammy, what are you going to do when you do something that will piss them off.
It sounded like you said Tevin for a second. I was about to say what?
Oh, no.
Tevin
no.
said what? You said Kevin. I know.
He goes, how many times did I have to bail you out, Sammy? What do you think women will do to you? You see what he does to his own blood. Just think about it if I were you. I wouldn't wait for them to turn on me. I tried first. Sammy looked conflicted and Jay asked him, where have you been? We could have used you. Let me ask you, did you talk to anyone? Sammy goes, no, I just got here. I'm talking to you now. Is that okay? Jay says it's cool and Sammy goes to the locker room. Jay looks infuriated and he's going to a commercial break. So we see highlights from earlier about Becky Lynch's return as the fifth member of Team Belair in War Games. Mm-hmm. Cut to Becky walking backstage as Kayla asks her about
for the millionth time, by the way. They played that footage over and over again to death.
For no reason.
Yep.
Kayla asked Becky about her first match back at War Game. She goes, the last 4 months I spent thinking how I could destroy them and tear them limb from limb. Everyone's tough until the man comes around. Everyone wants to go to war until the man comes around.
The man.
And the video came back showing all the highlights from NXT War Games as well as the landscape and structure of the match. We then cut back to Ronda and Shayna's attack, Shotzi and Raquel. They throw him into a bunch of crates, sandwich Raquel's arm into a roadie box, and slam it. They walk off and they cry out, it's broken, into the next commercial break. We come back. Raquel was taken to the hospital for an x-ray for a possible broken arm. Ronda and Shayna make their way to the ring in a chorus of boos. Ronda now has the mic and goes, we're here. Shayna agrees. Ronda says, looks like no match and accidents happen on purpose sometimes. They both laugh and tell Shotzi to stay at the kiddie table. They walk off and Shotzi's music hits as they go into the ring. And then it starts off as a handicap match. Oh, shit. Shotzi immediately takes out Shayna and lays shots into Ronda. She throws shots at both of the ladies and takes out Ronda, but Shayna with a big kick for a one count. Ronda tags in and hits a running knee, then an armbar on the rope. Mm-hmm. Shayna focuses on the arm and attacks the hand as well. She mounts her on her back and lays shots. Raquel's music hits and she comes down with a bad arm and tags in, which then makes it a tag match. Raquel takes Ronda down and tees off Shayna. Shayna tries for an armbar, but Raquel powers out. Ronda's blind tagged and goes for the arm. And Ronda starts pulling on the shoulder, nearly out of the socket as Shayna takes out Shotzi and Ronda hits the cross arm breaker and Raquel attacks.
Mm-hmm. This was kind of foolish.
It was super bullyish.
I'm going to tell you why it was kind of foolish, right? They have this thing go on backstage where Raquel gets attacked and so, you know, Shotzi, whatever, backstage. And it's kind of like one of those situations where, like, that's when you say, okay, well, then the match is off because, you know, well, you killed my partner. I have nobody to help me out here. Or one of those situations where you can be like, okay, well, then I have an interim partner, and then you can bring somebody in, and we can have fun with that. That's the smart thing that a babyface would do. But instead, they made Shotzi look like a dumb babyface, which they do this in WWE a lot, and it frustrates me. Like,
That afterward, they like let her talk to Kayla and talk about how Raquel was like the person that like stands up for her, kind of gives her back that little bit of that momentum.
Yeah, I mean. But listen, it's not just that's the thing. It's not just that, right? Like, because they did that situation and then that was over with. But then it's like afterwards, instead of saying, "Yo, let me go out there and have this match and be the fightingest baby face that you'll ever see," like that's dumb, and people see through that shit. You want to be the like she's not like The Rock, she's not Stone Cold, you know, she's not one of those guys that can go out there and, yeah, I'm going to, because, you know already with their reputation and who they are, that they're going to come out here and fucking, even if they somehow lose the match, they're going to do whatever the fuck they can. And it's going to be entertaining. There's going to be a whole thing about it. And you're going to really believe that situation. It's not one of those moments. This is not like, you know what I'm saying? This ain't it. You feel me? And basically what they ended up doing is they made her look dumb by saying, well, fuck it. I'll just go out there and do it my damn self. No, you idiot. You might lose it for you and your partner just because you're trying to be a fucking hero. You know what I'm saying? And then they had Raquel come out and do the whole thing. And it's like, bro, she was OD injured. Like, this was not going to go the way you wanted it to. Like, I don't understand where and what universe or how she thought that this was going to go right for her.
I feel like this was one of those filler type of matches. Mm-hmm. I feel like this was a filler type of feud. Just so they could build the storyline for Ronda and Shayna. Because at some point we're going to get that turn.
Yeah, I mean, let's see though, because I wonder what's going to happen too, because I'm looking over there at the other show. And Marina Shafir ain't doing shit.
Oh, you mean AEW?
Yeah, I'm looking at AEW and Marina Shafir ain't doing shit. So I don't know how much she signed for and for how many months or how many whatever she signed for. But if I were her, I'd try to find a way to come back over here and like be a part of this storyline instead. Be a part of, you know, the four horse. Well, in this case, the three horsewomen of MMA, you feel me? Because her by herself doing whatever the fuck she's doing with Nyla Rose and Vicky, like, it's not really working for me. I don't know. Like, I don't see where that's going.
So here we are at the main event.
Yep, I believe it's for the advantage at War Games.
Which... I never understood this. Because it's like, if you beat one group more than the other one anyway, you still got the advantage?
No. So here's what it is, right? At War Games, right? If you start off the match, right? Then that means your guy comes out first. You feel me? So you come first. You get to the ring first. Come Tuesday, you get to the ring first, right? So you're the first one in. That means that the next one in would be from their side. Boom, they come in, and then for that little bit of time, when the next person comes in, that's gonna be your person. So you get to team up on the other team, because that person's gonna be in there alone with two people. You feel me? So that way, let's put it in this case, right? Let's say the Usos, let's say the Bloodline would have won this match. Mm-hmm. Then you could have had both Sammy and Jay beating up on one of the Brawling Brutes. Which means you got a two-on-one basically advantage.
Okay. So Sammy and Solo accompany the Usos down the ring in their 495th day as champions. Look at all that swagging drip as they go down the ramp and they
down since day one.
They did the day ones and the day one, throw all the ones up. Maybe some twos. But always the one. They all get into their respective corners as Jimmy and Sheamus start off the match. Sheamus headlocks Jimmy to start, and then the short arm clothesline. Drew tagged in. They double team Jimmy for a one count. Drew came in with a shot in the corner and then a chop. Sheamus then in again for another double team, and Jade gets taken out too. As the teams face off going into the commercial. So isn't that one segment is the same time that Sheamus had Jimmy? I believe it was Jimmy. Rips off his shirt and like chops him.
Jesus.
It was mighty violent. And like,
it was mighty violent.
I mean, But the way he did it, right? Like, he ripped it, like.
Yeah.
And then just like, like three chops. They're like, ow.
On some fucking who was it who did that once? Oh, I forget it. Never mind.
We go back to the break. Sheamus and Jimmy are still fighting, but Jay blind tags and Sheamus goes over the top and then Jay takes out Sheamus. Jay tells Sammy to back up and Kevin Owens eggs Sammy on. That's what I was talking about, screaming that to him. Jay shots at Sheamus in the corner and Jimmy chokes him in and the ref is distracted. Mm-hmm. Both Usos in and they wishbone Sheamus. Sheamus punches back and hits the tilt-a-whirl, slide slants to Jimmy and Drew tags in and hits a series of clotheslines with a neck breaker to Jay. Jimmy hits the step up and the
Enziguri.
I could never have said that.
Enziguri.
And a back elbow. McIntyre comes back with a double A spine buster for a two count. Neck breaker to Jimmy as he kips up and signals for the claymore. 3, 2, 1. Put Jimmy to Shrek's. Oh no. Jimmy not.
Why'd you do that backwards? Like we were blasting off. 1, 2, 3, 2, 1. Blast off.
Blast off.
Yeah.
Jay distracts Jimmy, knocks Drew out, and Jay tags in as both of the Usos take out McIntyre into the commercial break.
Yeah.
Coming back from the commercial, Jimmy is punching at Drew, and Drew fights back with Miz to get taken out by a boot in the corner. Jimmy gets a big hip attack. A la Umaga and poses. He smirks.
Hey.
It.
Yo, I should have been a Samoan low key. I should have been born Samoan. I mean, I look Samoan, might as well.
I'm done with you.
Big old brown dude, man.
Jay and Sheamus in as Sheamus clears house. He takes out Jimmy and the Irish curse on Jay. 10 beats of the broad hand by Sheamus. Crowd counts along as he lays a total of 17 shots. Both Drew and Sheamus have the Usos looking for double beats as they fight out and take Sheamus out. Drew with a claymore on Jimmy, super kick to Drew and takes out Sheamus, the legal man. Sheamus with a massive knee for two out of nowhere. Sheamus fires out with the broad kick, but Sammy's out on the apron and Sheamus gets super kicked. 1, 2, no! Sheamus barely kicked up. Jay heads up top for an Uso splash, but Sheamus chops him down. That's what I was telling you about with the slow whipping and
the ripping
and the glistening pectoral.
You know about that? That's an old meme. What was it? The sun and the women, the ripping and the tearing. The ripping and the tearing.
Like all you need is what's his face, Fabio?
That guy was such a creep, bro. The ripping and tearing. The ripping. He started doing some weird, like backwards crab shit with doing the fucking the tongue thing. I don't even want to do it. Ew. Creep. You sick freak.
They won, they two, they know. Sheamus barely kicked out. Jay heads up top for an Uso splash and Sheamus chops him down. Sheamus up top now as the solo distracts the ref and Sammy takes Sheamus out. Jay with a splash. 1, 2, no! Both teams start fighting and ringside and Drew flies over the rope. Wipes everyone out as the bitches have the belt. But Kevin stops him. He smiles and grabs it. He won't let him do it. He tells him to grow balls. He smiles and grabs it. He won't let him do it. He needs to grow balls. Sammy washes him. And Kevin rolls him back into the ring. The referee ejects Sammy. Owens with a stunner to Jay. Bro kick. 1, 2, 3.
No, I thought it was 3, 2, 1.
No. Fuck it.
What happened, Katie? I thought it was 3, 2, 1.
My nose said otherwise. And my nose thing has John Stamos on it, so
it's a rocket ship. You put the fuel in the rocket ship. You're in a rocket ship. Fucking Ultimate Warrior used to fucking go nuts.
Oh, man. Post-match, Sammy is stunned ringside as we see highlights of the end of the match. The Bruce, Drew, and Owens all stand tall in the ring and the Bloodline recoup on the ramp. And Jay stares daggers into Sammy as the show go off the air. And you have that disapproving look from Kevin as he goes like this. Told you, man.
Sad shit, bro. Sad shit. So now Sammy looked dirty.
Sammy a dirty hoe.
Yeah, he looked dirty as fuck because then, you know, he basically... Jay knows what happened, right? So Jay knows that he was talking to Sammy. Kevin was talking to Sammy. He knows that Sammy said, no, that didn't happen. Then he gets himself removed from the situation because his dumbass was trying to use the belt. And then fucking Kevin Owens did not let his ass. And what ended up happening is, because he got himself removed from the situation, Kevin Owens goes in and gives the motherfuckers a stunner.
Yep.
So that gives the advantage to the baby faces, which is bad. You usually have the heels do it. But in this case, fuck it. The Bloodlines are the baby faces. Like, what the fuck? Because Sammy's the big baby face. He's the one going through all the peril. He's the, you know what I'm saying? He's the guy that we're invested in. So I get it. Fuck it. And we all know that they're not going to go against Roman. They never do. They never do.
No.
So, yeah. I mean, but at the end of the day, it still makes him look bad, which is like, damn, nigga. Like, you fucked it up for everybody, more or less, here.
And then he did worse at War Games.
No, he fixed it. He remedied it at War Games. But that's y'all going to hear about that tomorrow on Monday. Well, for us, it's not going to be tomorrow. I mean, for y'all, it's not going to be tomorrow. For us, it's tomorrow.
I mean, you know? If you guys watch our crossover for War Games on the Ramble Mania YouTube, you know, like, subscribe, all of that good shit. You know?
Yeah, go watch our reactions. We had a good time. We had a good old time yesterday. We even did the media scrum. I mean, sorry, the press conference.
I cursed out Hazel for saying soccer is football.
Well, everybody got on him a little bit about it, and you know he got upset. So let's not do that.
I mean, listen, man, he got me out of trying to render my goddamn video.
Well, that was me. I was looking for you.
No, I was watching that shit, and he was talking about soccer, and I'm Greek, so I take my soccer like.
Got you. TJ was going for Greece. You heard that, right?
I was so. But first of all, Greece keeps fucking it up for themselves.
Yep, that's what he was saying.
Like, my team is like the ultimate masochist, right? They'll have a good run. They're like the Mets of soccer, and then they'll have something good going, and the coach would be that one dumbass to fuck it all up. We haven't been in a World Cup since 2014.
That's awful, man. That's painful to hear.
And we would have won more had they not fucking put the old fucking... They got tied for the penalty kicks. It was Costa Rica. Mm-hmm. So I remember that fucking... I parked like two chairs in front of a cafe. It's like a watch this game.
Yeah.
So they were doing good. Like, they're all getting the same penalty kicks. They swapped out with one of their old vehicles the last minute. I'm like, why?
Damn. Big boo-boo.
The vehicle fucked it up for everyone.
That's terrible.
But yeah, no. So y'all talking about soccer, like, encouraged it. And then on top of that, y'all all claimed you sent me the link. I'm like, can y'all motherfucking send me the link if you're going to make me?
I didn't send you the link. I was just asking you, like, are you coming?
First of all, Hazel did not send me the
link. Oh, nah. I don't know about that. I just know that I asked you if you were coming, Kevin told me you were doing something, and you were like, maybe later, and that was it.
And then when Kevin sent it, I was like, boom, I appear. Why the fuck are you talking about soccer this way?
Yeah, it is what it is, man. I mean, like I said, I was trying to defend the honor of football.
Yeah, but at the same time, though, my fucking perfect streak got ruined. Fucking Austin Theory, fucking fuck ass fucker.
Hey, listen, if it makes you feel any better, we only lost two. Everybody who's in the sim only lost two matches. I mean, there was only five matches, so I guess we're a little less than half, but
I want this.
Listen, I'm going to win the title again.
Don't no, you're me. Not.
Listen, it's just, it is what it is. Just accept it. Accept your.
No.
It no, is what it is.
That's like Melo about to pop out kids. Like, it's not happening.
It is what it is. Yeah. Is this our final beat?
This is what SmackDown on SmackDown.
Oh shit!
It was a very midi type night.
To be honest, as much shit as I talked, I didn't hate this episode from what I saw. It's just they did a lot of dumb shit with the baby faces. I liked all the storytelling that they had with Bray Wyatt and LA Knight.
Yeah, like that.
I just don't like that they make all the baby faces look dumb.
It made everyone look like Chatty Patty. Everyone's about to go gossip somewhere.
Yeah, everybody was kind of like, but like, I mean, it's WWE. That's how they do. Most of their stuff is like promos and shit. When I watch WWE at this point, I don't expect to see what I see on AEW, which is like, we'll have like a quick short promo and then some like really good storytelling for a bit. And then we'll have like a crazy ass match or like a quick, like a just solo talking segment and like things like that. You know, I don't expect that from WWE. From WWE, I expect formulaic ways of getting an interview backstage, formulaic ways of doing this, and this. And just kind of like somewhat fun matches that could have been better if you kind of like let them, you know, let the reins loose a little bit. But I mean, for what it was, wasn't the worst thing. And at least it kind of like got me a little hype to see what's going to happen at War Games. Cause I was like, oh shit. Like what's going to happen with Sammy now that we got all this shit going on, what is going to happen with Sammy? You know, the other big thing that I was into, unfortunately did not get paid off at War Games, but I didn't expect it to be getting paid off at Survivor Series War Games because it wasn't that type of deal. It was a very, it was different. Let's just say that it was different.
It was bland.
Anyways, Katie, let them know where to find you.
All right. What's up, world? It is Kaboom. You'll catch me at the sim in a couple of days whenever they decide they want to do this shit. But until then, you can catch us at www.rawzonenyc.com. Everywhere at rawzonenyc, you can catch our episode with Savannah Evans. We're working on getting Lucas Chase on Rawzone Wrestling. Our episodes of What's SmackDown on SmackDown are out now with Kevin and Peter Rizzardo of We Are Wrestling. You know, and then this episode with Six and us giggling like assholes will be at But you can also catch these episodes on the Raw Zone YouTube because, you know, we make these playlists and we share. So follow us. You follow them. Yeah,
you could follow us on pretty much everywhere. We're on Twitter at RambleMania. We're on YouTube. I believe that's at RambleMania. / RambleMania Show. Pretty much we're on Facebook. We have a Facebook group by the name of Ramble Mania Show's Banter Club.
I'm cool. Okay, I got the script.
Oh, if you want to do the script, fuck it. I mean, I know everything, but go ahead if you want to do the script.
I mean, I was trying to help you out, you know, make you proud.
Go ahead, do your thing. I know everything. I was going to do it, but I, you know, the Google, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, TuneIn.
So you know
your podcasts are fun. Okay. I know that shit by heart.
You can find us on Instagram at RambleMania Show.
Yep.
Find us on Twitter at RambleMania. Facebook.com/RambleMania Show. Yep. As well as our group RambleMania Show's Banner Club.
Club, yep.
Where we and the rest of the podcasters that we associate our past and all are going on. for audio. We are everywhere. Audio is found. Apple Podcasts. Google Podcasts. Spotify. Stitcher. TuneIn. Anchor. Everywhere audio is found. To Trendomania Show. Or for video, we are on Spotify Video. Twitch.tv/RambleManiaShow. And search RambleMania Show on YouTube. And once you're there, my friend, like those videos, click subscribe, and click that bell so all the content goes directly to you.
Yeah.
And for this man, this man, the man himself, the multiple time RambleMania World Heavyweight Champion, 6XL, where can we find you?
There. I was going to get to all that, but you got it for me, so fuck it. you can find me on Instagram at the number 6, the letter X, the letter L, that is at 6XL.
You can find me on Twitter.
You can find me on Twitter at SIIXX, ain't I great, that is at SIIXX, you already. And you can find us on, all of us, on TikTok at RambleMania. So, I mean, RambleMania Show, so.
And Pornhub at 6XX.
Whoa! I don't know. No.
And the OnlyFans.
I don't have an OnlyFans. What the hell, Katie? What the hell? What do you think, man? Man, I ain't out here showing my giblets.
Pardon me.
I ain't here showing my dangling parts. What's wrong with you, man?
And his phone number is 555-888-555.
That is not my phone number, but no, I'm glad you used the fake number. Thank God. Oh, man. With all that being said, for Katie Kaboom, also known as Miss Ivy, for myself, the Angel of Death 6XL, I want to give all my BCLians, my Banter Club loyalists, our Ramble Maniacs, and what do you call your raw zoners?
The zonies, I guess.
The zonies, all right. And the zonies.
Or the little dancers with mellows.
Dancers with mellows. What she said. We're going to leave all you guys with a little something we like to call a... too sweet. And a good fight. Katie.
And a good night.
Blacka blacka black blacka blacka black blacka blacka black blacka blacka black blacka 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 blacka. Dedicate this episode to a friend of mine by the name of Fernando Acosta. You will truly be missed. God bless and Godspeed.